Welcome to another episode of FPL Kobe Talks, where we try to put into words the FPL action over the weekend into a single podcast. I'm Anwar, the FPL casual.
I am Lukman, the stubborn one. How's it going, man?
It's good. It was a good international break. I think if you guys are listening to this podcast, this is our first two-man podcast between Lukman and I, because ABK started school in Barcelona. And we're not able to find like the right time to record with his class going on and all that. So yeah, so this week it's just the two of us. We do our best not to bore you. So we'll try to get this chemistry up and going, man.
Yeah, and I know those ABK fans. Please, I hope you guys don't stop the podcast and listen to the podcast.
Yeah, gentle reminder, right, for the both of us, right, we need to try not to make this like a LFC podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be objective. We talk about FPL, right? We can talk about LFC later, but this is FPL, right? This is FPL week. Also, international break, man.
Good break from football. Got a lot of time to watch the rugby. The Rugby World Cup, the quarterfinal weekend was just crazy, man, mind-blowing. And yeah, but it's great to have FPL back. I kind of missed it actually after the down of the quarterfinals, right? Like that whole week. Yeah, I was actually missing football. How about you?
Yeah, I was missing football quite a bit. So I actually spent the international break trying to spruce up our IG a bit. So if you see some of the posts that we put up there, I actually came up with one of a double trouble post. I think that's one of our angle that we want to go. So we want to go a bit on the like journalism analysis side on IG as well. So yeah.
Yeah, good job, man. Good job on your creative juices were flowing, man. Good job.
Flowing, man. And almost drained, man. But just a shout out, right? I think there's still some guys who's listening to this podcast who's not on our Telegram group, who's on our Telegram group and not yet in our IG. We appreciate if you could just, you know, give us that like, follow and subscribe on all our socials, because it will really help us push more content and get the eyes of like sponsors and potential sponsors and, you know, people who are willing to put money into the podcast.
I was talking to a friend. I met a friend, right? He was telling me he listened to the podcast, but he didn't know that we have an Instagram. I don't know how he didn't know. But yeah, I went to his phone and I went to his Instagram account and followed the account. But yeah, those of you not following the IG is where all the content is coming up. So yeah, follow our IG. And also, we have TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and also X.
Yep. So I think let's start the pod proper, Lukman.
Also, one more thing, right, is that just share our podcast to any of your friends who play FPL. But I have a lot of friends who actually most of my friends who are listening to this podcast, right, they don't play FPL, but they're just listening because of me, lah. But if you guys know, like, people who play FPL, I mean, a lot of people watch football, yeah, but they don't play FPL. But if those who, you know, that plays FPL, like your mini league rivals, just share the love, man.
Yep. Yeah. So if you haven't, do join our Telegram group. We're running a prize FPL prize league where the winner will win a 23-24 jersey. And Lukman, I'm really looking forward to today's podcast. First two-man podcast between Lukman and I. Without further ado, grab a beverage of choice. This is episode 87, Salah Time.
Boss, kopi o satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks.
It's Freddie Youngberg again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Okay, we'll start with Tall, Grande and Venti, the segment where we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. You want to start, bro?
I thought usually the person who had the worst week starts first, right? So the honors goes to you, bro.
All right. So I'll start first. It's a bad game week. I mean, the only silver lining is my team Liverpool won. But other than that, like, personally, if you can hear my voice, I haven't been feeling well, and like, you know, the events around the world and all, and so I had a very bad game week. You can stay tuned to find out how bad my game week was, and also like there's a lot of decisions to make. I think I'll let you know more about my team throughout the pod, but I think I'll rate it as low as a 2.5. I think 2.5 is generous. So yeah, all in all, bad week.
Okay. I think you're just being stubborn here, man. I think if you follow Lokman's team, he hasn't done the wild card yet. His team is, I won't say shambolic, but close to shambolic. He's taking points every week and it's not really helping.
How about
so
you, bro?
2.5, Monster 2.5, game that's week. A poor week. Monster game week for Monster. Me, but I don't know. Like, I feel like with this momentum, I think I did the right move with the wild card, got in the right players.
In game week 8?
Yeah, correct. In game, pre-game week 8, actually.
Yeah, coming into game week 8.
Yeah, coming into game week 8. Yeah, and then 95 points, man. Excellent, excellent all around. But I've just, Monster. I don't know, man. It's good week, but I'm starting to be a bit greedy. Like, you know, 95 points, so I feel like not good enough. I could have one more player.
It sounds like that guy on Telegram, bro. Same, ah.
Yeah, it's like so that, where birds of feather flock together.
So what are your complaints, bro? Where do you get unlucky? Where do
no, la, like I think I mentioned in the group, I wish I had Trippier in instead of Cash, you know, because Cash only got 2 points. But that's just hindsight speaking, lah. But other than that, I think, like you were saying, that Liverpool 2-0 win was a silver lining. I thought that was one of the most boring 90 minutes of my life. I wish I could have gotten it back. All in all, agreed. Decent game week, okay-ish Liverpool game. I think plenty of goals this weekend. I would give it somewhere around 8.728 out of 10.
You know,
BK probably going to be damn pissed with me for the decimals.
You know, actually, you wish you had Trippier over Cash, but if you did have Trippier over Cash, you might not have Son, you might not have Watkins.
No, I wish I had all of them with everything. I wish I had the impossible.
All right. Okay, yeah. Move on. Brew of the Week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that had exceeded our FPL expectations and we feel might go into a hot streak of brewing form. Let's start with Newcastle. So, Kieran Trippier. The aforementioned Trippier, he bagged his third double-digit haul in 4 matches.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, crazy. So, you don't own him, right? So
I don't own him. You own him? Do you own him?
I do own him.
Okay, la, at least it's the silver lining. But he reminds me, like, I mean, he's playing so high up on the pitch. And I think this Newcastle team, like, if you look at the back four, it's almost like asymmetry with Trippier really bombarding up and down that right flank.
Denver, right, yeah.
Denver. Yeah, correct. And then he's just in the form of his life, man. I think he's on free kicks, he's on corners, he's putting in the crosses. And overall, I was quite surprised by the 4-0 outcome from Newcastle. I felt that, I mean, if you were to look at the starting 11 that Newcastle lined up, right? I mean, it wasn't, let's say, the 100% the best team that they could line up with. Like, if you had Jacob Murphy coming in, you had Longstaff in midfield, you don't have Tonali, right? And then, like the key players, like, even Isaac wasn't starting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it looks like a very average, dead-bang average team, but they produce. They produce. And this is not, and this 4-0, right? It's not like, the opponent were bad, no? Like, I mean, Crystal Palace have had some decent defensive performances the last few weeks, and this Newcastle team just broke them apart, tore them apart, lah.
Yeah, I think the first goal was lucky, and then one of the goals, Guehi made a mistake which he never probably made before. So I think it was a bit, you know, lucky.
A bit of both,
I think Guehi doesn't make that mistake before, and the first goal was a lucky assist. I think on Trippier, right? As an owner, of course, I'm glad, but as a non-owner, right, one of his assists was a tackle, I think, 2 games ago. Do you remember that? This assist in this game was a bit lucky. So you can count yourself unlucky as a non-owner. But yeah, I mean, this is World UK. Let's talk about wild card. A lot of things are wild carding. Will you have Trippier on your wild card?
Again, like you mentioned, if I get Trippier in, right? Like, this is the same stand that I had over the last few weeks, and I think I'll still stick by it. I think Trippier comes at a very premium, and we're looking at his attacking returns from a defensive position. And I think right now, where my position has changed over the last week or last 2 weeks is that I think there is no other defensive asset that can match the attacking output returns that Trippier has. And he's only at, I mean, I won't say he's only at, but, you know, for a defender, the attacking returns is slightly higher. So I think at 6 point, how expensive is he now?
I don't know. Wait.
I think it's, where's my Trippier? I think it's at
6.9. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, 6.9 million, but that's still cheaper than a lot of, like, average midfielders.
Correct.
You get what I mean? So yeah. I think, like, having him in there actually gives you the advantage in terms of the points you can get. And if I were to wildcard this week, I will look at how phase him into the team. For two reasons. The first reason being that, like we see over this weekend, we only have like 3 games or 4 games with a clean sheet, right, out of 10. And I make my stand that taking in a defender for its defensive output is not the main game, or rather not where you get the points for this EPL, for this season at least. So Trippier, the attacking output, I think he's of good value lah, at 6.9 million. I mean, I'm comparing him to other mid-price midfielders, and he probably getting more returns. That's so a good point. I would bring him in.
Okay, so this morning, today is Tuesday morning and yesterday morning, I made a wildcard draft because, you know, my team needs a wildcard. So the first thing, whenever I made a draft, right, I kept Trippier in, but I couldn't get the right midfielders that I want. So I think if I were to walk out this game here, I'll probably go without him, but I don't want to because, I don't know, I just think there's so many upsides. I want Bowen, I want Saka, I want one Spurs. So like Trippier is the one that I have to sell in a walk out, which is why I'm not walkouting because I still think Trippier will punish me because he has Wolves and Bournemouth too in the next 3. I think those are really clean shit. And yeah. So I don't know. I think I won't have him, but that's the reason why I'm... Am I really wildcarding out Trippier?
So you're planning with for what? What would your final lineup be? Will it be a 4-4-2 or 3-5-2?
3-5-2 or 3-4-3.
So you need to go 3-4-3.
3-5-2 lah, most likely. But 3 at the back.
Okay. Because this week, what I did was I remember there's a post on the double trouble analysis.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the best, I won't say best lah, like one of the most point per million partnership is actually Huang Hui-chan and Neto. Right, and they're actually pretty decent value. Huang operates an attack, and yeah. Neto is there. So, I mean, of course, with premium options, we only talk there needs to be some, you know, give and take somewhere. So that could be one of the combinations that you might want to look at. Yeah.
So with Trippier, right, I will need 2 out of these 4. So basically, Gordon, Neto, Palmer, Adingra. I think those 4, I will probably need 2 if I want Trippier and Watkins and all that. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, correct.
I'm wavering on it because I still think, I think most wildcarders won't have Trippier in their wildcard as well. So I'm thinking I can just hold my wildcard and take more hits. And maybe I can get on the wildcard because Trippier is going to punish them. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm 50-50. And also I have Salah in my team. Anyway.
Great, but I mean, this is why, ABK was quite apprehensive on, you delaying your wildcard option.
Why? Right?
Because I think you're now into game week 10. You have been priced out by a lot of the moves already.
Yeah, my
so team so like sucks. I mean like for my pre-game week to now, right? I've been checking the price changes on my team itself. I think it's only 1.2 million difference, and that makes a lot.
What's your team value now?
I don't have it. I don't have it off my hand.
Okay, anyway, let's move on to Newcastle, right? So as they have the most goals in the league so far, and also they are also first on XG and big chances. So they are not only they are meeting the underlying, and also that's why I bought in Gordon last weekend, right? And I really I want a piece of the best so-called attack underlying stats in the league. So I think the fact that I bought Gordon in is also one of the reasons why I'm set on not wildcarding.
I think Gordon is a good option because if you look at my team, I don't have a Newcastle set. Mainly because I don't know who to bring in. I don't know who will guarantee the points.
I think Gordon is the only.
Yeah, so like Gordon, Almiron, then you Almiron have like Isaac is out of the picture. He's always in and out. He's hot and cold form. He's always changing with this Callum Wilson, rotating Callum Wilson. So that's one of the reasons. So Trippier, if I were to get a Newcastle player in, my first priority would be to have Trippier.
I think, you know, if you make a wildcard draft now, right, I don't think you have Trippier. That's what I think. Because if you look at your midfield, right, there's so many shiny toys that you think, okay, that's what I think. I think most wildcarders, I listen to all the content. Right? A lot of people are wildcarding, right? I don't think they have Trippier in their draft. So yeah, that's a reason.
Or we do without Haaland.
<That's not. laughs> All right. Okay,
but we discuss that more later.
Okay, next brew of the week is Aston Villa. So Ollie Watkins grabbed a goal and an assist. So he has 13 attacking returns in 9 starts. So that is quite crazy.
I'm just so happy I got in Watkins at the right time, man. He looks like he's turning his form now, getting some of the red hot form, man.
Yes, he is on form. Form of his life. So is
really
it
good, really good.
Form, is it a temporary thing, do you think?
I think I was watching this remember we were saying last season we didn't see Watkins as a very good finisher. Striker.
She's not a good finisher
and all this.
Inconsistent.
But I think it's just the way he was played under Steven Gerrard's team. I think he wasn't the main man up front. He was a bit off Ings on the right and left as a number 10 instead of the out-and-out striker. And I think that because of that, we didn't see what he could do best. But with this team, with Diaby, you know, and like even Bailey, they had good games. Douglas Lewis, wow, what a player, man. Douglas Lewis,
yeah,
what a player.
But yeah, I'm going to talk to him. You want to talk about him now?
But Watkins, right, you see the second goal that he scored, right?
He only scored one goal.
Okay, the goal, the goal, the second goal of the game, I think.
Okay.
Of Aston Villa's goal.
Yeah.
He was in such a form, right, that
confident.
He stopped the ball. I mean, I thought he was going to go far post, but he made the turn and then he put it top left. Roof of the net. Yeah. That was just insane. I think with this kind of confidence, with this kind of player, I think I'm just happy that I got him at the same time.
Mm.
And then we got what? Douglas Lewis.
Yeah, talk about Lewis.
Every week. I think every week, Douglas Lewis is not your atypical FPL player that you want to bring him in. Like you're probably looking at him, he's probably a defensive midfielder, but I think Douglas Lewis is worth a second look.
Why?
Right. Because he's on penalties, one thing.
Okay.
The setup that Emery has in this team, right? So he has a 4-4-2. So in a traditional 4-4-2, you have a double pivot in midfield.
Yes.
Right? And he's not sitting back. So in a double pivot midfield, we see him forwarding further up the field. He actually had one monster save from Johnston from outside the penalty box before the second goal. Right? And then he's looking like a proper Brazilian midfielder, man. not just a Fabinho type of player, you know, but like a box to box, a Paqueta kind of player, a Joelinton type of player, lah. So I think Douglas Lewis is changing my perception on.
But you mentioned outside of the box. So if you look at his stats, right, he doesn't have any attempts in the box bar penalties. So I don't know. I don't think long shots is a sustainable way to for returns.
Yeah, but at a price point. If you're looking at someone who's on penalties.
Same price as Gordon. Let's talk about Cole Palmer on penalties too. But at least he's an attacker. There's more chance of an attacking return. So, yeah, not convinced.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Like he's outside. Yeah, but still, I think...
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about Diaby. Okay, so I was thinking I could buy Diaby, right? Because I don't have Watkins. So as a so-called cover for the good fixtures at Aston Villa. But watching this game, right? You say it's a 4-4-2, right? But watching this game, right? I thought he and Zaniolo, right, was basically playing the 10 and then Watkins was in front. Like, I think Diaby was more was playing up front as a 2, like, previously. But in the last few games, right, I think he's not really playing as a 2. He's more like a link-up guy. And then, like, the fact that Watkins is also very selfish, that's why he's not really returning. So I'm thinking, I don't think I'll go Diaby now. I think, like, right now, because I'm planning to buy him also. But I'm thinking, I would rather go to like your Mitoma or your Bowen. I still think he's not good enough to cover. I think he's being more reserved.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think Zaniolo coming in also. I think that has changed the dynamics a little bit between Diaby.
I don't think he's good. This
Zaniolo. Diaby, you don't think he's good?
I don't know. I the little I've seen him, like, just normal. Hasn't impressed yet.
I think because Watkins just outshined him. But I get where you're coming from. I think right now the star of the team is Watkins. And with his form, with his physical presence up front, I think that's where they want to get the ball in the box too.
Yeah, and Watkins is very selfish nowadays.
So yeah, he's
not good for Diaby.
Yeah. So and I think to mention on this cover, right, for one player for the other.
Yeah.
I just don't feel I don't buy into that theory. Right, I wouldn't, like, just because I don't have Watkins, I want someone to cover for Watkins. You get what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't buy into that theory. Like, oh, we don't have Salah, we're getting Diaz, so Diaz can cover for Salah. Example.
Okay, why?
Pedro Porro. I can't afford the additional 0.4 million on Porro, so I bring in Udogi. Because I think that each player, like, when we look at itself, there are certain, like, facets or certain points on these players that we like. And the team they play in is the only similarity between the two players.
And the fixtures, right, that they have.
And the fixtures that they have. But other than that, the importance to the team, the chances that they create, I don't feel they are just like for like complementary changes lah.
Yeah, but so the theory is if you score a goal, there's an assister, right? You also might get a share of the points. So I think there's some method to that.
But like I feel like instead of doing your analysis on like Watkins and who else besides Watkins within Aston Villa, like looking at Watkins, I can't afford Watkins with what money I have, what are the other options that I have.
Yeah.
So instead of looking to cover for a player that you cannot afford, take a step back, look at other players that are available to you in terms of your budget and see what best works out within your team.
Okay.
You get me?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Fair point.
Okay. And Diaby also I have had him since game week one.
Oh really?
So nice. He had some pretty
returns. Yeah, don't sell him. I think don't sell him. You're not selling
him. I'm not saying not selling him, but you know, I was talking about how I need to prepare to phase out because I have a double Aston Villa, double Tottenham.
After team, this
like, phase out, yeah, correct. So he's probably one of the first few options that I will look to phase out also lah.
Yeah, but otherwise, Luton, Forest, Fulham in the next three, you have to just keep him and don't buy but don't sell also for their
beat. Yeah, correct. And but Aston Villa, what form, man?
Yeah, and Cash is a good pick. I think Cash is an automatic wildcard. You have to have him. I think he hasn't returned in a couple of games, right? But he's still very advanced. And he could play right wing in one of the games. So I think Cash is almost a must-have, in my opinion. Yeah. Like Luton home, Fulham home, that's very cleanable. So yeah, you might get a big haul from him. Watkins, Cash, and then I'll rank Diaby third over Douglas Lewis. Will you rank Diaby over Douglas Lewis or the other way around?
Honestly, looking at Douglas Lewis' performance, I wish I could save that, like, what, 1 million on Diaby for Douglas Lewis.
Hey, bro, you want to talk about the question about, what's his name?
We'll do that in a bit. We'll do that in later. A bit. I think, like,
yeah, no, we'll talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, let's talk about Rose of the Week. Yeah. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that could have done much better this game week and deserve the Rose coming their way. So we're going to lump this all in one category, which is
wait. Before we do that, right? Okay, I think because ABK is not here, this is an opportunity to raise an Arsenal player. So initially I was like, hey, Lokman, let's roast David Raya this week, right? Because of the goal, the blunder, the first half of the game, he didn't look atrocious. Not say atrocious, like, I won't say atrocious. I put my hands up. He didn't look like he did Ramsdale justice in taking his spot, lah, right? But
I want to ask you, do you think Raya is better than Ramsdale, or which is better, in your opinion?
I think it's the issue with goalkeepers this season. It's really tough one. That's why we decided to lump them together because the first half, like, Raya was better. Okay, I'll answer your question first.
Okay,
Raya or Ramsdale? In terms of
overall,
they both. I'm going to give very template answer. They're both very different players. Ramsdale, really? I believe, very different players.
Okay,
why? Ramsdale, I believe, is a more defensive shot-stopping keeper, and he cleans up the back very simply. Like, he either clears the ball, he doesn't do anything fancy from the back. Raya, on the other hand, is a sweeper keeper, and he provides you with the additional man at the back to push your team further up. I think Ramsdale cannot do that. Right?
I think
so. Raya falls in the category of Ellison and Ederson.
Ramsdale falls?
Ramsdale fall Pope, in Nick the Pope. Pope, Johnston, kind of.
Yeah, maybe,
but that's my take.
Well, who's better?
No, so it depends on the team setup.
Okay, for
this Arsenal team setup, I think
Raya should be Raya.
Raya. I mean, for more progressive team, you look at Raya lah. But yeah. So what we wanted to roast Raya was Mudrik, right? That goal, right? It's a just carbon copy of Saka's goal, like, I think 2 seasons ago on the other end of the pitch.
Okay.
I don't know that he really wanted to go in for the cross. I read this article on The Athletic, saying, it's not Raya's fault because Arteta wants him to be, more aggressive, wants him to cover the line, and if he had gone for the cross instead, we have covered all angles. But I think that was just easy, cheap from the back. Right? Not so easy, lah. I mean, like, he got lucky. Then there are a few misplaced passes that could have been punished even more. I don't know whether you saw one of the passes. I think he went straight to the opponent.
Yeah, he did. I saw that.
Yeah. And then I thought he was bad. I fell asleep in the first Chelsea Arsenal game. Then when I watched the game again, right, I saw Roberto Sanchez on the other end. He was equally bad.
He was as bad. Half. Horrible.
And then I was looking at my team, right? Like, I mean, Johnston, I thought I got him in last week. Good replacement for Pickford and Turner. And then he got 1 point, he had 4 goals. And then I think if you look at all the goalkeepers, right? Like this week, I think generally the best keepers were like the teams who had the clean sheets, like Becker, Pope and Flecken and Vicario. Other than that, right? Like everyone else.
Alisson?
Vicario. From Spurs. Alisson, Pope, Flecken and Vicario.
Okay.
Other than that, right? Like, I mean, there weren't safe points. There weren't like any much points to go between. So it's quite a tough one with these goalkeepers.
Okay.
What's your thought?
Yeah, I don't want to add more. Like, I think you roast them enough. I think my thoughts on Raya and Ramsdale, I kind of disagree. I think they are similar-ish. I don't think Ramsdale falls more into the ball playing one than the Pope side. I think he's, that's the reason why Arteta bought him in the first place, for don't know how many million. Arteta bought him, right? So I think Raya is marginally better than Ramsdale, but just marginal. It's not worth the drama now. I don't understand why Arteta wanted to buy him. I think it's just marginally better. It's not like way better, so the drama is wasted. But anyway, let's talk about Arsenal. Is there anything else you want to add? They come into a very good run of fixtures. So you don't have Saka, you don't have any Arsenal.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Sheffield at home.
I think North London is white now, bro.
Really, bro? You're telling me you might roll, I think you're right up, right? You might roll a transfer. I'm like, I don't see Saka in your team, really.
Yeah.
What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I had Saka for a while now. I think, like why I'm rolling my transfer. Okay, just don't look at my team. I have to roll my transfer because, like I mentioned, I need to phase out some of these players in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So I don't want to be in a position where any like if there's no fire to fight, I don't want to be putting in other players coming in to use up that spot lah. I'm concerned more for the week after. But Arsenal players, I think Saka has shown how important he is to this team. But I don't know what his injury status now.
He played a full game, but he's probably niggling. Tonight there's a game.
Pre-game they were saying that like, he might not play, right? They see how at the training. Yeah.
Correct. I think one thing to take note, right? That before Man City, Arteta also was similar. The words were similar, like, you know, the way in the press conference. But one he played, one he didn't play. So it's very hard to read. But I think if he comes out, if he plays tonight, I think, I don't know, should be able. But it's hard to say. It's Sheffield, right?
Yeah, and then like Odegaard also like he's not a clutch player. Like last game, like I think they were looking at him to be a bit more creative. I think he didn't really.
I thought Chelsea dominated the game, man. I know the goals were lucky, the penalty and the cross.
I won't say they dominated the game, but we didn't expect them to rattle this
they
Arsenal
did,
team.
Yeah.
They right? did. We didn't expect them to do it, but they do it. Yeah.
Yeah, in a way they rattled because Arsenal didn't get not even 1 XG. So I think if you limit Arsenal to less than 1 XG, I think you have a good game. I know the goals were stupid, like the Sanchez goal, and it's a good goal by Trossard, but yeah. But to be fair, right, for Arsenal to come out with a draw from that position, I think it's actually quite, the credentials of them challenging City is bigger. Like you can get a draw from such a, from nothing. You don't really deserve anything from the game. So I think that
But is, you know who was stand out for me? I thought Declan Rice was pretty good in that game.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I thought Caicedo had him, man. I thought Caicedo was if you look at the man-to-man, I thought Caicedo had a better game in control.
I just felt that he was a bit more like Jorginho started, right? So he was at the back a little bit more and Rice was able to push up a bit further.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a bit more effective than Havertz in that position.
I thought Chelsea controlled the game, like, you know, in the midfield. I think Caicedo, Enzo and Gallagher had the better of the Arsenal midfield. So if you have to compare both, yeah. I don't know.
But Chelsea, I mean, like, since we're talking Arsenal and Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
I think they didn't start with a prominent forward in the game.
So Broa is injured and Jackson just came back from a wrist surgery. So I think he will probably come back, our favourite Jackson, in the next game.
But I think that also meant that, like, it was quite difficult to read this Chelsea team. And I don't know what Pochettino will read out of this. Because I think Cole Palmer...
So basically, right, off the ball, it was a 4-4-2. Cole Palmer and Gallagher was pressing from the two up front. So it was quite interesting. And it actually worked. It actually worked. I thought... Yeah, but I don't think Cole Palmer will play. Okay, let's talk about Cole Palmer. I think he's a legit option for me. I think 5 million now on penalties. Do you see him wrestling from Sterling?
Yeah. So I think Enzo was initially the initial penalty taker, like at the start of the season, right?
Yeah, he was.
And then after that, I think he missed one or two. I think he had quite a bad miss, and then they shift the penalty taker to Palmer. Palmer scored in the last game.
Yeah.
And then I think this game Sterling wanted to take it. So I don't know whether he's still nailed on to take the
should be right. Unless kicks. I mean he scored right, so I don't think he'll be. Like if he missed, then yeah, I think the fact that he scored, I'm sure he will take the next pen.
So hard to read this Chelsea team. Yeah.
Okay, one thing, I think Cole Palmer is fine, but they have Man City and Newcastle in 12 and 13, so it's not ideal to play Palmer. That's why if I were to choose one, I'd rather go for Adingra, but we'll talk about Adingra later. But yeah, Cole Palmer is still fine. If he's on penalties, man, for Chelsea, and he's playing advanced, so yeah, that's the key factor. He's not only getting returns from penalties. He on the eye test, I think he also. He passes the eye test. He's a decent player.
And he's pretty decent player also.
Yeah, decent player. Okay, let's.
And maybe just to add a bit more to that, I think if Jackson were to come in and with the same lineup, he probably dropped Gallagher instead of Palmer.
No, Gallagher will play lah, I think. Gallagher you captain. Think so? He's a captain. For now, I think without James, I think he'll still play. I think Gallagher will play. I think the Gallagher, Enzo and Caicedo, that midfield, I think will stick.
I see.
In my opinion.
So that means there's a risk.
There is a risk.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. More of that combination than...
Yeah, but who will come out? I think Mudri will come out, if I were to guess. But yeah, I still think he's quite important. The way, I don't know, from what I see, I think he won't be drawn. I think he's pretty safe. The fact that he's on penalties too, I think there's a small factor lah. Like I don't think he'll be dropped. I think Mudri will be dropped. But
if you're going with a full first 11, focusing on your money on the first 11 asset, right?
Yeah.
The very fact that we're contemplating this, we're debating on whether he's going to start the next game.
You are the one contemplating. I didn't. I think it's pretty safe. I think it's pretty safe. You can just. Okay. Anyway. Okay, let's move on to copy takeaways. In this segment, we'll be tackling burning questions head-on, discuss key assets to look out for, highlight trends and strategies for the upcoming game week, and answer the questions that you have shared with us. So, I want to talk about Brighton quickly. So the five teams that the wildcarders will aim right is Liverpool, Arsenal. What's their team? Aston Villa.
Spurs.
Not Spurs. Spurs is lesser lah. Okay. I think people are selling Sun to get Saka, in fact. But anyway, the underrated teams are both West Ham and Brighton because they are not in form. But I still think, if you look at XG, actually, I want to ask you just now about Arsenal. XG for this season, right? Where do you think they rank, Arsenal?
I mean, you mean
hazard a guess.
All the 20 team?
Yeah.
As a guess.
Hazard a guess, Arsenal.
Somewhere around 9 or 10 in mid-table.
Yeah, actually 8.
Yeah.
And Man City is 9. Yeah, I was about to say Brighton is third. So even though they lost the last few games, I think they lost to, I think they played tough opposition, their underlying is still up there. They're still an elite, they're still a top three attacking team. So let's talk about Solly March is probably out for the season, last I heard. So
serious?
Yeah. I think ACL.
He's injured.
Yeah,
wow, crazy man, poor boy.
But so if you look at the team, right, there's no other wingers except for Mitoma and
Adingra.
Ansu Fati hasn't played winger. When he came on, he's always playing in the 10. So I still think Adingra at 5 million. And especially the lure of the fixtures also. Fulham, Everton, Sheffield, Forest in the next 4. Starting. And do you remember when he played against Robbo? He absolutely roasted Robbo.
Yeah.
So I still think, yeah. I mean, he so far only 1 goal, 1 assist in the last 5 games when he first started. But I still think that the potential is there for a top 3 team.
How expensive is he?
It's only 5 million. Copama.
But right, with Estupinian out for extended period of time.
Yeah. But that doesn't affect
him. And then Lamptey also as a glass. I might put him at right back also.
No, but the thing is they have no wingers. They will have to play Milner getting rolled. Did you see how Milner... That was criminal for him to play against Doku. I don't know. Deserve to be... I don't know.
It's almost as bad as Diaz against Ashley Young.
Same. Similar.
But I think Milner can tahan a bit without getting the red card.
I mean, he could have gotten a red card if he played on. Like, he got subbed off in the half time. Yeah. But you cannot lah. Cannot play him already lah. Not against Doku lah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm still thinking. Actually, Estupinan, right. There's one key factor about Mitoma. I think without Estupinan, right, I think it affects Mitoma because Estupinan always makes the overlap runs, right, and then Mitoma will go to the middle. But without Estupinan, I think he's more wider.
Yeah.
Not saying he's like a bad asset or he can still return, but to buy Mitoma, I might think twice.
I have to agree with you. I think Estupinan missing in this lineup has actually impacted Mitoma's output a little.
Yeah.
I think like we don't have the same running run for the fullback. So so what happens is that the defensive fullback can tuck in a bit tighter, and that gives Mitoma less space. So as much as his thesis on dribbling goes, I think with 2v1 it's always challenging to break your man.
Also
I don't know, like I feel the last two or three games the defenders are able to read him a bit more lah. And I couldn't put a finger on it. And until you mentioned that, you know, without Estupinian, then it makes sense. Right?
Makes a lot of difference.
Just want him, yeah. Just him to mark. There's no other threats on that side to do it.
Actually, I want to ask you, something that bugs me about Dizabi, right, is why is he changing, like, rotating so many players? Like, I know it's new, right, but for players to actually being able to play, like, midweek weekend, right, you have to play them, right, to like you know, condition them. I'm like, why are you playing Milan? Just play Veltman. Veltman can play now and he can play midweek. He can every all the top teams do that, right? Most of the first team play every 3 times a week. So I'm just wondering why just stick to your team and then just make 2 or 3 changes at most. Your wingers, your defenders can be the same. Your midfield too can be the same. I don't know. What do you think? Why is Dizabi?
Just another level of tactical genius.
No, but I think he's hampering him. He got just stick to your best 11 or maybe best 14, 15 players. I think most top teams do that, right? Everyone plays every week. I don't know why he's changing
I don't know. It's hard to really see what Dizabi wants to do with this Brighton team, because I feel like I think he has the idea of how he wants to execute some things, but the depth and the quality of the
injuries
players might not be able to do that.
To be fair, injuries.
I mean, no, the back line of Milner, Solimach, that was just like, I thought they were going to get goring by, they were going to get whacked by City. But 2-1 is quite a respectable scoreline.
It is respectable. Man City actually owned the game, but I think Man City was part to blame also. But in terms of the game, right, the way the City control is, it's a bit like boys to men, in my opinion, even though it's only 2-1.
And I think since we're on this topic, right, Rodri's, like, you know, we talk a lot about how his suspension, whether we've overanalyzed him missing into this team. So in this game, I actually like had a special focus looking at Rodri. And I think Rodri is just this, like, he operates the space really well. Like, he really links up the play. Like, he knows where to go, where to fill up the slots, just so that players can find him. And he doesn't give you that, you know, that simple left-right passing. No, like, he gets the ball. Sometimes he sees the wing is running. He gets it into Doku. Just a very different player, lah. And I think that also shows. I mean, that also shows in the, like you were mentioning, like the quality of football that City brought. Yeah, I think they could have done more, but
John Stones impressed me in the game. John Stones, he was appearing everywhere. I don't know what he was centre, but he was everywhere. He and with the quality of Stones playing like that, and then you have Rodri, it's just to control the game. Is the control they have is just crazy. But shall we move on? Not too long, let's talk about the Egyptian king. So last week I said he was periphery to the game against Brighton, but he still returned. But in this game, right, he wasn't periphery, but he wasn't perfect. He had all the touches in the game. He had more touches, but he just had a bad game. His dribbling was so bad. That's not periphery. He had more touches. I thought Brighton he was you know, this game he was so bad. I don't know.
He
was so bad.
He made what's the game?
Mikolenko look like world class.
Mikolenko look good. Like, he keep dribbling straight into Mikolenko's leg. I don't know. I think just wasn't his day. And when Ashley Young got the red card, I thought, shit, man, this is gonna be pure Sean Dyche ball, man. Dyche ball, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I think he made a mistake.
He just parked everyone at the back.
I think half. Okay, continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that being said, again, he returned with 2 goals, a penalty, and a last-minute goal from an assist.
Watching that game, right, as a Salah owner, right, wanting him to score, right, I think in my mind, like, okay, the only way he could return is a penalty. And there was a few close shots, right? He was playing so bad that the only thing he could return is a penalty. Right? That's what I was thinking throughout the game.
Correct. But coming back to that again, like, despite a very bad game, I think we can clearly see that the whole team plays around Salah. You get what I mean? Like, the penalties and all this, like, Salah going in, like if Salah takes a shot, nobody's going to scream at him. There's no money on the team to scream at him. And then, like, Darwin, I mean, I'm really surprised that Darwin actually gave that pass. And in fact, that to me signals confidence. Because if he lacked that confidence, he would have tried the shot for himself. He would overthink it. And I think that we have quite a number of players with Darwin in the team. I think that the only reason he didn't start this game was probably because he flew back from Uruguay from a very strong win against Brazil. And I think
he Klopp played well, sorry.
Yeah, he played well also, and I think he's coming to form.
I like Darwin.
So Darwin, I think, is coming to form. So if you have Darwin, I think JC, one of our guys on Telegram, he's a Darwin fan. I think he says he's not going to sell Darwin. I think he's going to return you your point soon, brother.
Yeah,
so
he will.
That being said, I think Salah is essential, man. What do you think?
Yeah, he probably... I mean, the fact that I think he's had a bad game, right, is actually emphasizing that in a bad game, he managed to get 16 points. It's just crazy. Like, we know he eventually play well, right, because he's Salah, right?
Yeah.
So shout out
and,
to...
Shout out to who?
So ABK has Luis Diaz. So yeah, Luis Diaz had much better game than Salah. Way better. He came out with 3 points, I think. that's crazy. I mean, if I was ABK watching the game, it's pretty unlucky, like your player played better.
Experiment goes on. So ABK doesn't have Salah. I have Salah.
Yeah.
And he's 10 points behind me, man.
Oh, you mean overall?
Yeah, overall.
Oh, that's quite close. That's quite close.
Not too far, but still 10 points.
Okay, let's go on to questions. So first one, there's a few we'll get through. Let's keep it quick, okay? So first one is from Shakir Tay, who accidentally triple captain Salah.
Accidentally.
Nice one, bro. How do you do that?
I believe him, because usually when people accidentally triple cap, right, they will say they accidentally triple cap when the outcome is shit. So like, let's say Salah blank, right? Then say, I accidentally triple cap. This case, Salah did well, and he said, okay, I accidentally take it.
Okay, and his question is, best time to walk out. So this is a very broad question. It's really team dependent. So
last week,
No, but to be honestly, I'm my team is a walk out, but I think looking at the fixtures, right, I think now is the best time. I think if you don't walk out now, right, the next one is at the end already, 18-19, when the doubles and blanks come in. So I think you should walk out now. If you think your team needs a walk out, it's probably... not the best one to advise, but I think
So are you going for the World Cup or not?
I will talk about my team later, bro. Okay, next question. Eugene, sell or keep Haaland? I'll just say quickly, just keep. I think there's doing a lot of World Cup drafts. So I made a lot of World Cup drafts this morning on my toilet break / tea break. So I came up with the conclusion that without Haaland, right, you spread your team like too much, right? Like you have benching headaches, and that's not ideal, and I think there's enough cheap options around that. Yeah, just keep Haaland, and also Haaland is a captaincy option. Let's say you go without Haaland, right? I think you only can captain Salah, and sometimes if you don't want to captain Salah, you stuck. So I think just keep Haaland. Do you agree?
I keep Haaland because 86% of other managers have.
Okay,
that's good, the main point.
Okay, next point. Aegon Targaryen, Manchester Derby, time to sell Bruno Rashford. Yeah, easy. Yes. Don't get lured in, because after City, they're Fulham, Luton, Everton. Just don't get lured in. You watch them against Sheffield, right? They need a wonder goal to win the game.
And I think Bruno dropped in price today, so that just shows how much people are actually putting him out.
Okay, Kenny, friend of the pod, sell Sun or Meadow for Saka? What do you think?
Sell Sun or Meadow for Saka?
I would, in your team, right? I would have the same conundrum. I would probably want to get Saka, but yeah. You have both also.
Wow. I don't know. If you ask me, Sun or Meadow for Saka. Okay, why I have Sun and Meadow is because, like I said, I like to double down on players in good forms. in good run of games. Basically, because I feel like the average out will give me a better output. But Son of Medicine for Saka. I would probably go with Son for Saka.
Wow, really? Why?
Yeah. So Medicine is a bit more crucial to this setup. More assists.
I don't know.
Before this game, Son didn't complete a lot of 90-minute matches.
Medo too.
Yeah, but. And then with Son for Saka, I still have some money in the bank to make other moves lah.
Yeah, but I think if you can afford Medo to Saka, which I think you can, I think you should just sell Medo. I think Son is still the fact. Yeah, we still don't know who's on penalties, right? I think that's a big swing. But for now, right, I will keep Son. Right? I'm not gonna sell him after how many points? 1 million points he scored. I think just sell Medo would be my play. And yeah,
sorry, yeah, we cannot help you on this one. I say Son. But Lukman says
yeah.
I say Son, Son.
Tell us, can you tell us what you do, man? On the group chat, I'm quite intrigued. And you can tell Anwar also. Maybe Anwar can copy you because he has both.
No, I don't think he's
not going for Saka. Okay, nah. I will go for Saka. But yeah, anyway, I want to ask you personal question for my team. Will you go for Saka first or Watkins first?
Watkins.
Why?
Watkins is the highest scoring striker behind Haaland. And in terms of form, right, I think Watkins.
Yeah, true.
More returns than.
Yeah, okay. Saka. I agree. Okay. Long question, Weche. Essential premium player if you can't have all. Haaland, Salah, San Trippier, Alvarez, Watkins, Saka, maybe even Bowen. And there's cheaper alternatives like getting Burn instead of Trippier, Mehdi instead of San, Alvarez instead of Haaland to fit other premiums. Okay, so because I've been doing a lot of drafts, right? So Alvarez over Haaland is a no-no, as I said earlier. I think I'll have Haaland, Son. I have Salah in my team. Madison over Son, I don't mind in a wildcard draft to fit in more. I think Trippier is not a must in a wildcard. I would definitely have Bowen in my wildcard draft. And Saka also. So Bowen, Saka, and Salah. And Haaland is a must for me. Yeah. And Watkins.
Okay. Yeah. For me, we have Haaland in there. Basically, like
first
I
one.
To, yeah. I second? Template lah. Template. Because... 86% of the managers own him. And then from there, in terms of priority, who I'll try to fit into my team will be Salah,
Watkins,
Trippier. Really? In that order.
Saka, you don't Sheffield at home next.
Salah.
No, I'm talking about Saka.
Yes. No, I mean if you ask me about premium, who are the premiums that Saka. I fit in which order?
Okay. Saka right? is a premium.
I will
right?
go with Haaland is his set. I will prioritize Salah next.
But Watkins
followed
not
by Watkins.
Watkins not a premium, is it?
I would put him as a slight premium lah. 8 million striker. But there's no other striker within that.
So Trippier over Son.
And then Trippier, yeah. Because we already have Salah in the midfield position. Premium.
Okay, fair enough.
And then Trippier in defense. Yeah, I would do this first. And then like the midfield, like I can shift around. So if I can afford Son, I put in Madison. Yeah, I think Son and Madison is the only partnership which I think is like complementary. You either get Son or Madison.
Yeah, I think that's why I just get Mehdi lah. Because he wants Nebulas. Okay,
correct.
Okay, move on. On behalf of this is from FPL Milo. I know every week he asks a question. So on behalf of my friend Tay C, Sweetie Gary Al, second in our mini league, he said his Douglas pick has been vindicated, even though you guys advised to sell. Who advised him to sell, bro? I don't remember.
I think you need a correction notice here. We did not advise Douglas Lewis to sell Douglas Lewis. So like I said, like I wanted to reply on the chat immediately, right? But I will keep it for the pod. I think what we said is that Douglas Lewis is not a typical FPL player, so it's not typically fashionably someone we look at as a pick. You get what I mean?
Okay.
I think that was the stand that we take. That yes, he score points, he's on penalties. We also discussed this earlier, I think in the brew of the week when we talk about Aston Villa. And I think the conclusion is that his chances are from outside the box. Yes, he's on penalties, but again not fashionably the type of players that we look at from midfield considering the other shiny gems that we have, like your Netos and your
Okay. So his actual question is, what do you guys think of getting in other enablers with penalty taking duties, such as Cole Palmer, as this may be a viable option for squeezing a 3-man of Haaland, Salah, and Son? Yeah, I think Cole Palmer is fine. Just take note that he plays Man City and Newcastle in 12 and 13. So just make sure you have someone to play in those two game weeks. And yeah, I wouldn't mind him, but I'll go for Adingra. And then actually, okay, so looking at the fixtures, right, Adingra is good because when Brighton fixtures turn bad, right, Chelsea fixtures turn good. So when Chelsea fixtures turn good, right, then maybe you can sell Adingra to Palmer in the same price point, yeah.
Wow, I would Palmer, you mean at 5 million, ah?
Yeah, if it just as an enabler, lah, I think it's fine, lah. But I'll go for Adingra first.
I would actually go for Douglas Lewis instead of Palmer, lah. Spend a bit more.
Okay.
What do you think?
No, I'm not going for Douglas
Lewis. Different price point,
I'm not going for Douglas Lewis. I don't. Look, Cole Palmer is better than Douglas Lewis, man. He's attacking, bro.
Okay, we review again in 3 weeks' time,
Will you remember? Okay, last question. From the current top in the mini, I think he just joined the mini league. Welcome, Lemon Quack. Are you Jesse's brother? If by any chance. Okay, anyway, Lemon Quack, he's top. We'll talk about his team later, but his question is, what are the non-template options, midfield or forward, we can look out for the next 5-6 game weeks? Do you have anyone in mind, bro?
Douglas Lewis, lah.
Don't go Douglas Lewis, bro.
I mean, it's non-template, what? There's a reason he's non-template. Yeah. He's on penalties. He's on penalties. He takes the chances outside the box.
We've been through it.
Okay, we look at the top ten midfielders in total points now. So we have Salah, Son, Saka template, Bowen template, Madison template, Mbeumo moving or veering off to non-template, but still pre-template. Douglas Lewis is at 5.4%, and because we generally view him as that one, so I think he's a non-template midfielder, which I think is pretty decent
pick. Okay, okay.
And then the other one is Jensen from Brentford.
Okay.
Right? So I think...
Same arguments, but he's not a penalty.
Same arguments.
He's not a penalty.
But he's not on penalties, yeah.
Okay,
so these are the two. Okay, and maybe Gordon, bro. What do you think?
He's 8%.
I don't think many people have gotten...
Yeah, maybe.
So many people have gotten in.
Yeah.
So this is quite a non-template
top
one.
Top LG team. Yeah, okay, my answer, just quick one, Martinelli. If you want to go for someone non-template. Okay, let's move on. Off the menu, differential pick less than 5%. So last week, bro?
So last week, I absolutely owned the off the menu pick. So I took Hwang Hee-chan. Who was it?
Yeah, correct.
Correct. I took Hwang Hee-chan from Wolverhampton Wanderers.
The Korean guy.
And he got 4 points. So he had -1 point for his yellow card. ABK, I think he's currently with the most points, right? He's on 3 points now, right? Or 4 points in
somebody
the
needs game. To keep count, bro. I'm not counting yet. Yeah.
So he got zero, man.
ABK.
ABK had Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Who didn't play? He's injured.
Is it?
Unlucky for ABK,
because we had the international break. Yeah. But still, Abmissal, 0 points. And Lukman had Murillo. Again from Nottingham Forest with also 0 points, so I'm infinitely way ahead of these two in terms of point advantage.
ABK, if you're listening, right, you're winning so far, right? Why don't you update and tabulate in the Google Sheets, if you want to brag about it? Because I'm not keeping count because I'm losing. Okay,
no incentive.
Okay, let's go on to this coming game week 10 pick. So I'll start with ABK's pick first. So his pick is Gabriel Jesus, 3.5%. So nothing much to say. I think it's good fixtures and Sheffield United at home. I think that's the best fixture, I think. I think they're even worse than Luton in my opinion. So yeah, I think Gabriel Jesus is a great pick for ABK. Well, why don't you go, bro?
I go with Dominic Solanke from Bournemouth.
Hey, bro, familiar.
Big dog.
Oh, he's how many percent?
He said 3.5% if I'm not wrong.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, bro. and I think again... I think Burnley and Sheffield went down the pecking order in terms of opposition that I'm picking against. So because ABK really has Jesus from Arsenal against Sheffield, right? And I think he probably do some returns. The next one that I think is worse off is Burnley. Burnley is attacking and forgetting how to defend.
Okay, so my pick is Simon Adingra, 0.4%, 5 million. So I say enough about him in the pod, right? But he is my... Off the menu pick. Okay.
You must start at right back though.
No, that's Van Veltman. Okay, anyway, let's move on to teams quickly. Let's go through ABK's team. So he had a good game week, a steady game week. He had a green arrow from 1.1 to 800k. So he had 85 points. So I'll quickly see out his team. He has Turner, Gabriel, Cash, Trippier, Madison, Bowen, Luis Diaz. Oh, Luis Diaz got 6 points. Oh, he got an assist. Okay.
Yeah, I think the penalty assist.
Oh yeah, penalty assist. Then Bruno, Son, Watkins and Captain Haaland. So 85 points. So next game week, right, he's actually doing one free transfer, Bruno to Saka. So he is not getting Salah in, even though he has two free transfers because he wrote the transfer. So he's still zen, I guess, about not only Salah. Which helps, of course, as a green arrow. But yeah, I think let's move on to your your team first, bro?
Yeah, pretty decent game week, 95 points.
Monster.
Monster. I think what I did this week was I actually brought in Tsimikas instead of and transferred out Levi Colwill. And I think just got lucky there, man. He got substituted in the 61st minute. Right. So correct. he got in the clean sheet points, 6 points, I think pretty decent for his price point. And I think no brainer lah, in terms of like attacking defensive asset like the rest. In goal I have Sam Johnston at Poro, Cash and Tsimikas. Madison, Son, Neto, Diaby, Salah in midfield, Haaland and Watkins up front, and a very weak bench of Areola, Archer, Kabore and Al-Dakhil. So I'll probably roll this week's transfer despite calls for Saka in. I'll probably roll this week's transfer. And then I have full faith in Aston Villa and Tottenham triple up for these next two game weeks at least.
What's your plan?
So I'm going to do, like I mentioned, I'm going to keep two field transfers because I'm going to move out of that. I will see if I can move in for Trippier in two game weeks from now with a double transfer option.
Poro out, right? For Trippier.
Poro, Tsimikas. Or probably upgrade one of my bench and then go with a 4-4-2 with Trippier in instead of, let's say, Madison or Diaby. Because I still have 0.4 in the bank.
Maybe you can go like Madison to Palmer or something. Or Son to Palmer. I don't know.
Actually, I could just do a... Yeah, correct.
Trippier, bro?
Yeah.
Nobody's getting Trippier on their walkout and you are planning to bring him in
not two now, game bro. Weeks. Foresight in two game weeks time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's at least the game plan for now lah. So it might change again.
Okay. What's your OR, bro?
Ooh, this week has been good, man. Let me check. I'm actually top. I'm under 1K in Singapore.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's my first time there. So it's 881 in Singapore. Overall, I'm at 115K.
Okay, great. And great start, bro.
That's a great start.
Keeping out the flag. Okay, so yeah, 95 points, right? You gained 30 points on me this game alone. I have Trippier and I have Salah, but you still gained 30 points on me. So so my team is Turner, Trippier, Botman, Gabriel, Cash. I took a hit last game week. I brought in Gabriel and Gordon. I sold Nakamba and I Vardiol. So yeah. So I had to sell from Nakamba to Gordon, right? To fund that, right? I had to sell Vardiol to Gabriel, which is it's a long-term thing. I think Gabriel is a good pick long-term. Arsenal fixtures turn good long-term. Anyway, Turner, Trippier, Gabriel, Cash, Salah, Madison, Rashford, Foden, Gordon. You didn't mention you captain Salah, right? Yeah, captain Haaland. So you gained 8 points on me there alone on that decision. And Morris. So, okay. If I were to walk out, right, I would sell Foden probably for Bowen and Madison for Adingra and Morris for Watkins. Those are the three main transfers that change my team because I still want Trippier. I have Salah in place. I will change like Botman to Tsimikas, but that's like minor. Like, I'll change my goalkeeper also, but not that important lah. Because I still my three main defenders are Cash, Gabriel, and Trippier. Right? I'll play three at the back lah. So Tsimikas is not that important, and of course Pickford sucks lah, but not enough for me to walk out. So I'm thinking, am I really selling Foden and Madison on a walkout just to get Watkins? So yeah, I don't think. Okay, so if I'm not
Foden, yes. But you need to do both Foden and Madison to get in Watkins.
Yes. Correct. Unless I don't go with Trippier, then I got more leeway.
Which
I probably won't go for Trippier, and then I can keep Meadow, our Bowen. Yeah. But the thing is, okay, so the free transfers, right, in my current game, right, I can do just one free transfer, which I probably won't do. Rashford to Saka is an easy free transfer, but I'm thinking, remember I asked you which one is more important, Watkins or Saka? You said Watkins, right? So yeah. I can actually take a hit to get Watkins. So Morris to Watkins, and then Rashford to Adingra for a hit.
You should stop taking your hits.
And maybe
it'll be a long way up. No,
I know I'm 60 points behind you, but you're my target. Okay, so I'm at 2.2 million, right? Bad start to the season, I admit it. I've been here before. It's not my first time starting badly, but okay, so I'm just taking small steps, a small target. So my next target is to be in the top 1 million, right, when I walk out, which is around game week 18 and 19. Okay, that's the target behind my back. Of course, I can still walk out this game week. Tomorrow morning during my tea break in the morning, I'll probably make another draft, maybe without Trippier, which, you know, when I just take out Trippier, right, then I'm happy with my team. Then when I think again, why am I taking out Trippier? That's a conundrum. I hate this feeling. But right now, I'm not going to play my walk out. And yeah, wish me luck, bro. I have 60 points to catch you, bro. Slowly but surely.
Why don't you? Okay, I mean, you're still on a wild card, right? I mean, you still have your wild card, right?
Yes.
Suggestions? Why don't you take out Haaland for Watkins?
No.
Because you can always bring him back. Bring him back in on the.
No. Okay. The thing is, if I do that, I still have Morris.
I mean, if you're taking a hit, lah. So you get in Watkins and for Haaland and get another premium.
But if I sell Morris and Watkins, then how many hits can I take? I can just take a hit for Morris. Sell Morris. Morris to Watkins is a big upgrade, right?
Oh yeah.
That's why I think Rashford to Adingra. I think Adingra the next three features are good, and then I can do Foden to Saka after they play Newcastle in game week 11. Yeah.
A tough one on you, man.
Yeah, okay, tough life, bro. Okay, anyway.
But I really hope that it pays off, lah. I mean.
Okay, I must hope that the double in game week 2020 is confirmed. That's where I can gain back my leg walk. I must really hope that double falls and then like.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm really hoping.
I mean, there are strategies down the way. I mean, you don't have to always follow the trend. It's I think some people are like, I'm doing pretty badly. I'm so tempted to do the wild card. Yeah. Do the wild card if you really feel like your team is in bad shape. I think Lukman is trying to push it a bit more because right now, right, we're only in game week 9. We're not even close to halfway of the half. Okay, we
one quarter in.
So, I mean, like, if we were to split the season into three thirds, because we have two wild card, right? So you want to put them like into three thirds, then we're looking at probably game week 13, game week 14 as an ideal time. So, like, I mean, for me now, in case of that's why, like I say, like for me now, you have to be very clear. I've already wild card my team. I need to always be very careful with my
transfers
lah. So like I need to at least hold two free transfers
so that I can. Yeah, because the next time you walk out is probably like late 20s, 30s.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So probably game week 25, 24.
Okay, bro. Let's move on. So the deadline is an early game, right? Finally, actually, right, I hate the Saturday deadline because Saturday I'll be very busy, right, with my family. So actually, at first when Friday night deadline, the first few game weeks, I was quite annoyed. But right now, I'm welcoming an early deadline. This Friday night, Singapore time, Spurs will be playing Palace. Yeah. Anyway, bro, UCL Fantasy, bro, tonight. Are you still making transfers?
Give up already, bro.
I give up already. Okay
lah, it's not that, it's just that...
You want to copy? I'm wildcarding now. You want to copy my wildcard down? I can send you after this.
No, it's fine. It's just that the app sucks on the iPhone. So, I mean, it's this okay, is shout-out to the ULT, but I don't know. I just cannot log in to my account. Keeps getting me locked out, and then when I log in,
Euros Fantasy this summer is the same app, bro. I think the app is fine on my side, on Android.
Yeah. I'll do it in Euros Fantasy. I basically missed the first week, and it's just a very short... Like how many game week?
Yeah. Okay, anyway,
so yeah.
6 match days. Okay. Rugby World Cup, bro. Final. What are your predictions, bro? Who you think will win?
I'm going with I want New Zealand to win this.
You won or do you think they win?
I want New Zealand to win this, but I think South Africa just a slight edge over them.
I want South Africa to win, but I think New Zealand will win. I think England took a lot out of South Africa in the semis. And New Zealand got basically a bye semi final lah, so they're more fresh lah. So I think it'll be a close one lah, but I think New Zealand will edge it.
I think it's quite tough . I got to some extent. I feel like if you had a good semi final, or I mean an easy semi final,
it's harder, is it?
It's harder for you because you don't have that, you know, that like you're not sharp.
Remember last year, last World Cup, England beat New Zealand in the semis. That game took so much out of England that in the final, right, they just... It's not enough guess.
England is just a lousy team, like, bro.
No, but 4 years ago, they beat New Zealand, right?
Remember they beat New Zealand, but they're always punching above their belt. It's not like they...
No, but that South African team wasn't good also, no, actually. Last 4 years ago.
Yeah. But at least this final, New Zealand South Africa is something to watch.
Yeah, where you watching?
But then like I don't know, like 3 a.m. gonna be the last 3 a.m. game. Yeah. This is worse than staying up for what you call that football lah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just very different watching rugby at 3 a.m. and watching football at 3 a.m.
What's the difference? More.
I don't know. I just feel like you know, like football, you're a bit sleepy. Watch also okay, no. But rugby, you need the to be haka. Hype. You need to be like the really haka. Like fired up. To really enjoy the game.
You watch the haka? Do you like the haka, bro?
Hey, the Kapau Bangga was good. Okay. But the semi-finals, they got drowned out by the Irish team.
Yeah. Basically, the Irish fans flooded the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, let's move on to the mini-league. So, at third place, we have Alex Liu with the team name Fantasy for Life. Second place, FPL Milo Dino's friend, Tasty Sweet Thai Gary Au. So, basically, he was first. But Lemon Quack just joined the league. I don't know how long ago he joined the Telegram. We can't check, but his team with the team name Sunshiny Days is at number one. So crazy. I mean, he is ninth in Singapore and 1.1k overall. So that's why he saw the chance of winning a jersey. That's why he joined the team. He's joined the league. So he made one transfer, Sterling to DRB. So in this game week, he's 93 points. He still hasn't played his wild card, by the way. So 93 points. Turner, Powell, Carbori. He started Carbori. Wow. Okay, Trippier. DRB, Embuemo, Gordon, Salah, Sun, Haaland, and Alvarez. He doesn't have Watkins. He have Osula, Di Sassi, and Emerson on the bench. It's pretty weak bench. How is he 1.1k, bro?
Wow, got a look, man. I think he got Johnston from the start. I think that's
maybe
that's better Embuemo, than
Embuemo 14 points is damn annoying, man.
But Burnley was just lousy. Not lousy. The defense was just in shambles.
I wonder whether he's wild card. I don't think he's gonna wild card. I think he might. Alvarez. He doesn't have Saka. He doesn't have Alvarez. Watkins. Can he get Watkins from by selling Alvarez? Maybe. But I don't know whether I'll sell Alvarez. Alvarez is such a good pick, man.
Yeah.
How is he gonna get Watkins?
I'm just looking at his team from game week one. I think it's quite cool. I mean, he doesn't have a template team from the start. So he's got his points on players like Solly March, like Yao Pedro in Big One.
Di Sassi.
Solly March again in Big Game Week 2. So these are the main points, like, you know, the starting games that probably not many people would pick. Then he got in Sterling. He banked in on Sterling. Alvarez got in Alvarez early as well. I think this guy's a serious FPL player, if anything.
He got finished 10k in the world 2 seasons ago. So it is something.
Yeah, gotta learn from you, bro. Gotta learn from you.
Bro, when you are cutting, can you let me know on the Telegram? But yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at your team. Wow. Interesting. I'm all the best, man. Fly the Singapore flag, bro. 9 in Singapore. Okay.
Yeah. Just as a reminder, right, guys, if you're not ready on our Telegram, join us on our Telegram page. We have some friendly banter there. I think there are a couple of good guys on there as well who would give you some tips and some advice on some of your FPL conundrums. We also give out a Premier League jersey of choice to the season winner of our league. So you will find the league code at the Telegram channel where we administer our league and interact with the community.
Okay. We'll be back next week on Monday night. It'll be the three of us. ABK will be back to review game week 10. So any questions, just hit us on our socials. Thank you, Anwar. Thank you. Thank you for the double pop, bro.
It's a good one. And also just a quick shout out for those of you who have yet to follow our Instagram page. You're listening to Spotify on your phone right now. Just go into your Instagram, search FPL Kopi Talks, KOPITALKS, and just hit the subscribe button, the follow button, man.
Okay, actually, right. Subscribe on Spotify, so give us 5 stars. I think that's a thing that you can do. So actually,
Hey
bro, this is your 7th podcast, man, and you are natural, bro. How are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. I love talking, and then it also helps that I'm a hit of you guys on the table. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, once again,
see you, bro. See you guys. Thank you.
We hope to get ABK in the next podcast, hopefully, if we can get him in. And then we see you in the next podcast. Yeah. Thank you, Lokman.
It's a long pod, man. If you guys are listening all the way, thank you, man. We are FPL Kopi Talk signing out.
Love you guys.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.